Two Time Labs Podcast, episode number 59.
Finding inspiring, fresh ideas in time-based productivity is like searching for a needle in a haystack. Join Francis Wade as he works with a special guest at Two Time Labs in each episode to create something brand new. A product the world has never seen in a way that keeps you engaged and also challenges your thinking. If you are a productivity nut, a person searching for new ways to improve your time management, or one of the busiest people you know, well, this is the podcast for you. There's nothing else like it. Stay tuned. The latest episode from Two Time Labs is about to start.
Hello and welcome to the third episode of Live Lab number 2, where I try to create an email calculator with the help of Dr. Michael Einstein. This is Francis Wade, and this is the third part in the series where we finally bring it all together and create what I think is the very first online interactive email calculator. So if you tuned in for the first couple episodes, you heard me go over the assumptions that were underlying our reasoning. Did that first, got that straight. Then in the second episode, we took a deep dive into some formulas. And in this third episode, we're going to continue looking at the formulas and tie it up with our underlying assumptions and come up with, finally, a finished product. Keep listening. Hi, and welcome back to the final segment of the Two Time Labs podcast with Michael Einstein. And as you know from the prior two segments, we're focusing on creating an email calculator. And I sent over to Michael a sort of the semi almost finished version. And he's about to give me feedback on what he thinks after making some general comments about these kinds of things. Because if you've been following our podcast very carefully, you've probably had some questions about where do those numbers come from? So, Michael, where do those numbers come from?
Morning. Yeah, where'd they come from? They came from outer space, I think. They came from our minds. They came from, I think, our desire to try to quantify a difficult area, which is email overload. Working with people in the business world as well as people in the personal world, you know, I think there's really a lot of struggle that goes on in terms of managing the email, and I think we're trying to look for a way to look at somebody's inbox and get some idea as to the health of their inbox as kind of a proxy for their email practices. I kind of think a good healthy inbox usually shows good healthy email practices. An inbox that is in very poor shape shows some probably need for better inbox and email management practices. So I think what we're trying to do
is easy in theory.
Well, that's why we're on our third episode.
That's right,
our third recording, and I'm still not sure that we're that much further along, but that's okay. These things take time, and. Yeah, but I think what we've tried to do is, I think in the email you sent, you just kind of prioritize some of the key areas that are concerns for people looking at their inbox. And I look at a lot of inboxes. I'm sure, Francis, you in your consulting work.
I try not to.
You try not to, but I'm sure you see a lot of inboxes.
Alarming.
Yeah.
I try not to. I don't coach people on their email per se, but I do glance to sort of get a sense, or they quickly tell me kind of what whether or not they're in good health or not.
Yeah.
But I try not to look at, seeing the email I sent them 3 weeks ago, why I didn't get a reply, and it's 1 of 10,000 unreads and unhealthy.
Yeah, exactly. And I work with people, in my work environment. I work with people outside of my work environment, and you know, sometimes I take a look at the emails, their email inboxes, and I'm like, how do they have any idea what's going on? And the answer is they probably don't. And that's
I think you strike their name off the project. You just kind of sneak in there and you delete their name. You're thinking of putting them on that good project that was critical to your well-being. You decided to strike them off, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah, so
you know, there's this judgment call that we keep making, you know, ever since we started talking about this, or ever since I started to put this thing together before we had our first call. I was, you know, very conscious of that. I was sort of like playing God, because I'm trying to decide what good health versus poor health looks like around your email inbox. And we're now at the point where, in applying criteria and numbers, we're sort of very finely deciding, we're kind of playing God and saying, no, you won't have 2-3 feet. We'll give you 2 feet instead. Yeah. And you'll have 10 toes, not 12. We're at that level of granularity here. And, you know, it remains to be seen how omnipotent we are and how useful the end result will be. I know we've come a long way from just notions of health versus poor health versus good health. But does it translate into the numbers that I have suggested? Well, let's take a look and find out. Huh?
Yeah, let's go. All right. So did you want to read down your list?
Sure. What I sent you is an email with two parts. So the first part that we'll talk about is the priority of concerns.
Right.
And I said that these things are more, the following five factors, I would say, are in order of importance. And why this order is important is because I translated the numbers, priority numbers, the ordinal numbers, I guess, into weights. So I have to put some description of this in the show notes so that people can understand what the priority of concerns is. But there are five items. So the first item, which I thought would be the sort of the biggest concern, would be the how many days of stored email are accumulated.
Right.
And we had a long discussion last time around read versus unread and subscriptions versus non-subscriptions.
Correct.
I guess the idea there is that someone who has lots of email that's accumulated should suffer. Again, we're going back into penalties, but it should be your biggest concern. If you have stuff that's in there, that's, if it's read, it's better than if it's unread, okay, but it's better not to have anything in there at all.
Right.
That shows that you've processed everything. And when it comes to subscriptions versus non-subscriptions, my thinking there was that you should get a greater penalty for non-subscriptions, in other words, for unique email, because that's email that was sent to you directly, as opposed to broadcast email.
Yeah.
So broadcast email means that message isn't for you. It's for 10,000 people who are all on a, you know, getting a particular newsletter.
Yeah, it's a but newsletter. Yeah, it's lower priority, not really as urgent. It takes up room, but it's, you know, it's just often a newsletter or some sort of bulk message. I agree.
Right. As opposed to a message that's only meant for you from someone else.
Right.
That if you haven't seen that, you should be penalized for not processing that, because the risk that runs is tremendous compared to the risk of not seeing a piece of bulk email.
Exactly. Not reading a newsletter is not that a big issue, but missing an email from a coworker or a boss is a much bigger issue.
Right. Yep. So my thinking was that's the number one concern. How many days? Because there's an aging effect on all these emails. Yep. That the longer you wait, the more trouble you could be in. So the penalty should, and we talked about exponentially increasing the weights and all sorts. Yep. I tried to do that.
It's difficult.
We'll see. It was really hard. I was going to get the exponent.
Yeah.
I'm like the college level math. You know, I was like, oh my God. Logarithmic functions, all kinds of stuff. And then I thought, oh, this is way too hard.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it simpler, at least initially.
I tried to keep it simpler. We're getting really fancy.
Mm-hmm.
So that I said was the first priority. The second priority is the age of these messages. Hold on, I think I've repeated myself. How many days of stored email are accumulated? Okay.
How old are they?
How old are they in terms of your processing speed?
Right.
It's not just how old they are, because someone who zips through 200 emails a day isn't fazed by having 200 emails, accumulated right. emails, because it represents one day, the average day. But someone who only processes 50 emails a day, when they are looking at 200 emails, it means they haven't looked at email for 4 days.
Right.
So the penalty there is how many days, and it varies by person. So there's an input, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, but there's an input in the calculator where you put in how many emails you process per day.
Yep.
There is, okay. So the second metric then is how old are these messages? So
right.
This is just a pure aging report. In terms of you're more likely to get in trouble for a 10-day old email than a 1-day old email.
Yeah, I agree. If you have a lot of stuff in your inbox that's old,
mm-hmm.
you know, that creates bigger and bigger problems, because, you know, especially, you know, if it's an old and non-subscription. Again, an old subscription doesn't really have a big penalty. It's just a newsletter, it's an announcement, it's a distribution. You know, if it's old, you don't read it, it's not a big issue. But, you know, as I said, it's messages from peers, from family, from friends, from bosses, from coworkers that have come in, and the older they get, the you know, of course, those people may be getting upset that you haven't gotten back to them. And it also means that your processing is falling farther and farther behind.
Right.
So you're basically not keeping up. You're right. Somebody that has 200 emails coming in but is responding to 200 emails a day successfully, they're keeping mm-hmm. up. It's a big volume, but
right.
for some people that could be normal. You know, that could be a normal day for them. Other people, if they have 200 emails, like you said, coming in, but they only get to 30 or 40 a day, they're going to build up more and more and more, and it'll get older and older, and that'll create a compounding problem.
Right, and they should be penalized more than their counterparts.
Yep.
Their counterpart.
Yep.
So the second metric was sort of a lid on the first one.
Yep.
Because I tried to balance the weight on you individually
mm-hmm.
with sort of an objective measure of old is always worse than not.
Right.
So I tried to take two people and say, okay, two people could have the same days of stored email because of how fast they process email. So I could have 4 days and you could have 4 days in terms of 4 days of your processing. And I could have 4 days of my processing, but yours could be 100 days old and mine could be just survived 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
So I tried to yep. somehow balance them. Whew, that was tough. I remember how hard
yeah.
that was.
It's difficult. I agree.
Very tricky business. I mean, we're so far into sort of uncharted territory here.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ridiculous. And then the third was how unique these messages are. This is just a measure of, again, it's the one I mentioned for the first priority, that you're penalized way more for email that's intended for you rather than broadcast email.
Right.
So the uniqueness is a third concern, third priority.
Yep.
The fourth is how fast they're entering.
Yeah, the incoming volume. And that's really important as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you do hit points there where a very large incoming volume, you know, as the incoming volume goes up, you will get penalized because at some point you just lose the ability to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have so many emails coming in, you know, if you have 200 emails coming in a day, even if it takes you a minute an email, you know, just to look at them, decide what it is, do something with it, move on to the next one. I mean, that's 200 minutes. That's, you know, that's 3 hours a day.
Right.
You know, that's just a lot of time. You know, right. So
even if you're fast.
Even if you're fast, there's, yeah.
There's a still sort of a rate of speed, I guess.
Yeah,
like you should be sensitive to. You can't spend your whole day doing email, as far as you know. Not if you have a regular job.
No, not most. I mean, there are a few people whose job is literally answering emails, but
that's right.
You know, that's different. That's your job. But you know,
right.
For most,
this is not for them.
Yeah, for most business workers, you know, email is just a communication tool. You know, that's right. Part of their job. And I always say to somebody, you know, if you have more than 100 incoming messages a day, you need to work to get that down. You know,
right.
Because just keeping up with 100 a day, as I said, at a minute each, that's 2 hours a day, just looking at them, deciding what to do with it, and moving on to the next. And I always tell people, you know, once you're at more than like 100 a day, you really need to start to look at ways to reduce your incoming volume.
Right.
So, you know, right. I think there are some – there are numbers there that are optimal that you want
right.
to kind of
somewhere
say,
there, right.
Yes, you know, if under, you know, under 50, you're in very good shape. 50 to 100, you're kind of a little bit more normal. 100 to 150, you're kind of in, you know, danger zone. And, you know, over 150 into the 200 plus a day, you're critical. You know, that's just it
right.
just becomes very difficult for people to keep up with that.
Right, with known technology, with known or what we know of habits, practices, and apps, yep. and the like, given technological and human limits that we're aware of today,
yep.
there is a point after which, if you get 1,000 emails, we don't have a way to process 1,000 emails, not really process.
Not really, no.
Not without filtering and... is in with today's habits and programs, no matter what you do, it's unhealthy.
Yep.
Maybe in 5 years' time there'll be AI kinds of things, and you, who knows, you know. But
yeah.
All right. Yep. So the fifth one was one that I remember you had brought up.
Yeah.
On our call, so it's a complication metric that goes to threaded messages. So there's a penalty there for how involved these messages are, because threaded messages you often can't dispense of as individual items. You have to go back into the thread.
Exactly.
So they put a drag on you.
They do. They just become, I find threaded messages tend to take more time and effort to sort through than just a single one-off kind of question or a single item email. Because, you know, also threaded messages, you know, tend to have, especially if you want to even expand it, threaded messages with lots of people involved. So you could say, you know, if it's just you and one person going back and forth, that's not quite as significant. But if it's a message where there's 10 people, and people are continually responding and answering and responding to other people, those are the messages that I find are by far the biggest drain. If I get on one of these threads and there's 12 different people and they're all responding differently at different times to different people's comments, I mean, just trying to sort through that is just, you know, just very, very challenging.
Right.
You know, back and forth with one person, not so much. So I'd almost say, you know, the threading is a combination of the threaded messages and the number of people on the threads. As that goes right. up, it becomes
it
bigger and bigger hit. Yeah, it really does.
Right.
And
right.
and especially people in big companies, I think, are especially susceptible to this.
Right. No, maybe that's a factor we could look at. Figuring in, maybe we should look at it just right now.
Yeah, the number of people copied on it or something.
Yeah, because you're right. At some point should also be a software element, because I've used software that does threading so badly that I mean, this one program that I tried got a thread of messages, and finding a message which I had to do a few times in the thread, was like the Gordian knot. You were digging through, you were clicking. I don't know what it did or why it did it this way, but finding an email in the thread was like impossible, needle in a haystack. So it took an hour to find one piece of email because the software was so bad. But I would leave that off. But what kind of factor would you, or how would you weight the complication of threaded with one person versus threaded with N people? What's a good formula that you'd put?
I think you can almost, you know, increase the factor by the number of people that are. It's not so much the number of people that are on the email. It's probably the number of people that are different people that are responding. So the more people that keep responding, you know, it's less an issue the number of people just copied on the email. It's more as more people respond, different people respond, it kind of goes up. So I think if you have a threaded message with one person, you know, maybe it's a one waiting factor, and as soon as the second person responds, it goes up. The factor goes up as greater complexity. So
I think it's linear.
Yeah, probably close to linear. You know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, not? I think you can make.
We're playing God anyway, so
yeah.
God has spoken.
You start with linear, I think.
So we could say what I had as in the factors, which we'll get to in just a minute. I had 0.2.
Right.
Times the number of threaded messages. That's what I had originally.
Yeah, but maybe now you multiply it by the number of people that are responding to that threaded message.
On average?
Yeah, on average.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's,
yeah, on average, you know, you look at a thread, and if on average there's 4.5 people that have responded, that's one factor. If you have another thread where 8 different people are responding, that's certainly a much more complicated message, and it's going to take a lot more time to sort through that. And you know, it's 8 people. It's probably twice as complicated as 4 people. You know, so you can start with linear, I think, is a good answer.
You could get more detail if you want. I will be, just because I know how hard it is to enter these formulas into the email calculator.
Yeah.
Really hard. But you could weight each thread by the number of respondents,
right.
And then figure out the kind of a weighted average. You could get fancy like that, but let's make it simple and just say it's 0.2 times the number of threaded messages times the number of average participants, meaning respondents. Just keep it all in terms of averages. Average, it's usually 1, like you only have threaded messages from 1. Nowadays, my threaded messages are usually 1 person. Maybe 90% are 1 person.
Mm-hmm.
So my factor would be maybe 1.05 or something like that, maybe.
Right.
So it wouldn't go up by much in my case. But for someone else, it could explode on them. So it should go up.
Right.
Okay, so somebody might argue that it doesn't go up enough. Someone might say you might need to, there's probably a number in there to inflate it even further. But let's leave it at that for now.
Yeah.
For sake of.
Yeah, I mean,
or,
I think.
Or deadline.
And I think it certainly at least helps drive the message that the more people that are involved in these threads, the more complicated it's going to be and the bigger hit it's going to take. So I think that's, you know. You could say, hey, is it linear? Is it exponential? You know, but it certainly increases. So I think that's what you're capturing, which makes sense.
Great. All right, so we can – well, actually, let me ask you what you think about the priority before we go into the actual weightings. What would you change if you had sort of – a different point of view, or
I do think, and I always tell this people, you know, you might want to move up the speed that they're entering, the number of new messages coming in, because I always tell people that the biggest improvement you can make to your email is to get less email,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, by far, you know, I always tell people, unsubscribe from newsletters, or, you know, for example, I do something where, you know, my newsletters actually get automatically routed into a separate folder, so they don't even go into my inbox.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just once or twice a week, I'll look through that folder at all my newsletters and go through them. And if I look at them, I look at them. If not, not. But they're never sitting in my inbox. But, you know, so that's one way I can do it. The other thing is, you know, get yourself, you know, out of, you know, messages or message threads you don't need. I always tell people the biggest thing you can do to help your email is get less email.
Mm-hmm.
So
are you suggesting that you would move it above the uniqueness measure, the third concern?
Yeah, I probably would move it up above the uniqueness, because I think, you know, by and far, you know, the amount of stuff you have in your inbox, you know, is and you know, having a lot of old stuff is a problem, and just having a big incoming volume is a problem. So I'd probably move those up.
You'd move 4 to 3 and 3. It'd switch number 3 and number 4.
Yeah, I'd probably switch 3 and 4.
How unique are these messages versus how fast are they entering?
Yeah. So I think that's for most people, I think that's a bigger problem, is just a high volume of incoming messages. Because honestly, if you can reduce the incoming volume down, then everything else kind of becomes less of an issue. You know, unique, you know, subscribe versus non-subscribed isn't really that big an issue if the volume's lower and you can keep up with it.
Well, let's take a look at what happens with the waiting. It may be taken care of because the number one, because of the two prior concerns.
Right.
I'm not sure. Because they're all describing all these different phenomena. It's really tricky to separate them. But when we get into the waitings, it may be that someone who receives their report, and this is what we'll have to carry into the next part of our discussion. Okay. When someone gets their report, how should they respond to it? Should they look at the overall number and then decide that they need to change this, that, and that? If that's the case, the priority might not matter. If they're only getting one number, then it may matter, because then you may lose the fact that you're receiving too many emails that you don't need to. Okay, well, I'm going to write that one down.
Yep.
Okay, it's a switch four in terms of priority.
Okay.
The priorities get operationalized by changing the weights.
Right.
So we're going to talk about it anyway.
Okay.
Any other change in terms of the priorities?
No, I think those are. Yeah, the only thing I came up with looking at this list, because I went through kind of and some thoughts myself, and I kind of talked about, number. I kind of sat down and made my own list, so I kind of had number of incoming messages a day. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I call your velocity. You know, how much is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Your volume, which is how much stuff you have sitting in your inbox. So we have that covered. We have the complexity, which is threaded and non-threaded, and the number of people on it. We talked about the age, all these old messages, how many messages do you have that are unread, that are old? I think we used to kind of call that the blind spot. Remember that in the last episodes?
Uh-huh.
Kind of call that the blind spot. What are those messages out there that are, unread, that are from real people that you haven't done. So I think that's good.
You haven't seen, right?
The only thing we don't capture here, which is a little difficult to kind of look at it, and I don't know quite how to do it, but you kind of have to also balance your inbox volume and all this stuff against how many you process per day. So how many emails a day are you either deleting or filing or tagging or categorizing?
Actually, the way I made a mistake a while ago when I characterized the how fast are they entering metric.
Right.
Because if you look at the part that our listeners can't see.
Yeah.
But if you look at the second just the list of metrics, the combined rating.
Glasses here. Yep.
It's 0.1 times the incoming email each day divided by messages removed per day.
Oh, messages removed per day, right.
So I thought how fast are they entering was a pure metric, a pure volume metric. It's not. It's what you just described.
Right.
So what I would do then is add the pure volume metric to the combined rating. Okay, just before we get into the combined rating, which actually has the weightings of each of the metrics, I want to correct a mistake I made before by characterizing the how fast they're entering metric as a pure volume metric. So I think I hinted at that. It's not. It's actually a how fast are you removing your email volume metric. So the actual weighting is 0.1 in the combined rating times the incoming email each day divided by messages removed per day. So someone who is perfect at removing every message every day on average will get a very low penalty. Someone who is bad will get a high penalty.
Right.
So to stay true to our conversation before, we need to include a pure volume metric.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that briefly, and we can add it into the combined rating. What do you think that should be? A pure volume rating. I think we're both agreeing that somewhere around the 150 to 200 email messages in your inbox, new email messages per inbox rate. Yes, 100 to 200 coming into your inbox. Somewhere between 150 to 200, it starts to fall off the wagon, and somewhere over 200, there is a natural problem.
Right.
So how do we want to sort of, I guess there's a curve in there somewhere, and then the penalty is really kicking off the 200 in a big way. What do you think?
Yeah, so that's a little tricky. You could use just 200 as, you know, you could just pick something as your target, right? You just pick like 150 as kind of your target, and let's see, if you just take your incoming messages and divide by 150, you know.
Yeah.
If you have 150 divide, you have 150 coming in, and you divide by 150, you're 1.0. You're like, you're fine.
Right.
If you have 50 coming in, and you know, at divide by 150, then you're at 0.3. So you're low. If you have 300, you know, if you have 400 coming in, you know, or sorry, 300 coming in, and 150 is the target, you know, so 300 divided by 150, you'd be about 2.0, so now you got a higher factor.
Right.
So you can kind of just take your incoming messages, divide by, you could just keep 150 as the target, and, you know, we could play with that, you know, as if that's the right target or not, but just incoming messages divided by 150 will kind of give you a ratio that you could then use that to maybe you use that and you multiply it by one of these weightings. You know,
it should be a maximum, the greater of 1 or the incoming over 150.
Right.
So the penalty only starts when you exceed 150.
Right. That's one way to do it. The other thing is you could make it so that if your incoming volume is low, you almost get a bonus, you know, against your ratings.
I'm afraid of bonuses because they don't necessarily imply that it's healthy.
It's true.
You just could be on vacation, or your server could be down. So in the spirit of the rest of it, we've only penalized. We haven't rewarded.
We haven't rewarded. So if we're only looking at penalties and no rewards, then I think your approach is right. Just keep it pure, and you only mark it if it's above one. So if it's less than one, you don't mark it. But as you go above that 150, that ratio is going to get bigger and bigger. You know, 1.5, 2.0, 2.5, 3.0, and maybe use that and you multiply it by use that as a multiplication factor against one of these measures.
So at 300, it would become 2. At 100, it would be 1 point something.
Yeah.
So question is then, how should we weight it? We just said you propose that it be number a third level sort of weighting as opposed to fourth. That looks to me like somewhere like maybe a 0.15 weighting,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, 0.15 weighting, something like that.
This is the part where we're playing God.
Yeah.
So that you know, it's like, let man shall have 12 toes. No, 10. All right, 10. Whatever, sure. That's fine. 10, 12, whatever.
We'll make a really little one that is very easy to break.
Okay, so as we go up the set of metrics, there's two that I want to sort of explain. One is 0.2 times the average age of non-subscription messages in days, and that's a weighting of messages that are unique,
yep,
and the age of those messages. And the other one is the subscription messages, and it's 0.2 times 0.5 times the average age of subscription messages. So what I tried to do was to give subscription messages half the weight of non-subscription messages.
Non-subscription, right.
Right, right. So this is a measure of aging, but I'm aging the non-subscriptions
less
heavily.
Yeah, the non-subscription more heavily than the subscription, right, which makes sense because
right.
The non-subscriptions are more important, certainly, right, than the subscription ones.
Right. Right. How does that strike you in terms of?
Yeah, I think it's definitely correct when you look at your inbox. It's the subscription things are they take up room, they're messy, but they're certainly less important than your non-subscription ones, which are from actual people.
Right.
So,
right.
Yep. I think that's definitely the right approach. And you know, it's one twice as much as the other. You know, but I think we can certainly start with that as a starting point. It's good.
Right. Okay, yep. Good. And then the one before is a measure of, again, a measure of, not again, sorry, but it's back to the first priority, mm-hmm, accumulated, but this is not backlog.
Right.
Email. It's a measure of everything older than a day divided by incoming email each day weighted by 0.2. How does that one strike you?
So that's saying, look at all your messages that are older than a day divided by the incoming volume. So that gives you an idea about how big your old backlog is in your
right
inbox in relation to your incoming volume.
Right. So, I wanted to penalize the skimmers here.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who go in and skim, they may process all their email today, tomorrow, and for every day next week. But every email that came in from last week and week before and month before and year before is still sitting there.
Right.
So someone wanted to sort of zap them a little bit.
Yep.
So you don't get away by just being current.
Yeah, you also have to clean house.
You need to clean house, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I see that too. I sometimes work with people and I see very big inboxes and they're like, well, but I read everything, so it's all okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if you read it all, get it out of your inbox. You know,
yeah,
just right, move it somewhere. Even if you just, you know, if your Gmail, you can just, you know, hit archive and it just will get out of your view. It's still saved, but it's just out of your sight.
Right.
But I'm like, you know, how do you look at your inbox and have any idea about what you need to do? You know,
right,
what's important or not important. So
you don't, right. You can't tell.
You can't really tell. I have had people though make statements that, well, you know, once I've read it, I'm kind of done with it and I just don't worry about it. So,
right.
You know,
and there are those who would say, well, actually I'm current because I've read everything that's come in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
But everything before that I've ignored.
Yeah.
As if that's, you know, deserves a penalty, right?
Yeah. And this is total messages older than a day. This isn't unread messages, right? This is just...
Right. Old, read or unread.
Read or unread. Okay.
Right. Right.
All right. Got it. Okay.
Because I just lumped them together. I think this was, again, for the sake of making it easy a little bit to measure. And then the one before that, the second highest priority was 0.2 times, and I invented this surprise index.
Yeah, I remember this, the surprise index.
So it's unread messages.
Right.
Minus unread subscription email divided by incoming email each day. Unread messages minus unread subscription email, those are in the numerator.
Right.
And they're both divided by incoming email each day.
Right. So this one, you're looking at all of your unread messages, regardless of age.
Mm-hmm.
Subtracting out the subscription ones, saying the subscription ones aren't really important.
Mm-hmm.
And then dividing that by the incoming email each day, and that's kind of like, you know, and that'll give you a ratio, right? Mm-hmm. of terms your, you know, how much, what is your ratio of unread messages to your incoming email per day?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. So if you come back from holidays, for example, this is what you're most concerned about.
Yep.
You took 3 weeks holidays. You went to the south of France. You came back. And this is what you really care about, this number, because this number would have ballooned in your absence.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it a 0.2.
A 0.2 weighting. Yeah, that's good.
And then the first and the biggest sort of penalty comes from, and I analyze this one higher because my assumption is that this is a behavior that you could change. So you're going away on vacation, or you could have been sick.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't be penalized for being sick as much as you should be penalized for the bad practice of skimming.
Right.
Of leaving behind. So I gave that a 0.25, the left behind index, which I said is total messages in your inbox minus the unread messages minus the tagged read messages, which means that you've processed it.
Right.
Gmail. All divided by the incoming email each day.
So the total messages in your inbox minus the unread messages that are tagged minus the tagged messages.
Read messages.
Oh, minus the tagged read messages. Okay, right. So we say if they tagged them and we read them, then we kind of know what they're they're handled.
They're processed. They're processable with a filter.
Right.
Okay. So in other words, they may have not left your inbox. This is a nod to folks who use Gmail and tag in their inbox. It lessens the sort of the penalty on them.
Right, because they are tagged, but they still are there, you know, so.
Right, and they could be untagged just by changing the view. Sorry, they could be rendered invisible just by changing the view.
Right, so.
Yeah, so, you know, in or out doesn't have a context in Gmail, which doesn't have inboxes.
Yeah, but by subtracting, you're giving people their, some recognition that if they did that, they're not going to really get a penalty for that.
Right. There's no penalty whatsoever if you did that.
All right, so total messages in your inbox minus the unread messages that are tagged.
Unread messages.
Messages minus tagged read messages. Got it.
Yeah, it's the way it's typed.
Yeah, got it. It's minus. Yeah. I got it. It's there. Okay. Divided by your incoming volume each day.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave that one a 0.25, a high weight.
The highest, right.
Okay.
Right. So what do you think of that one?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I guess the question is that the highest? Is that really the highest weighted item? You know, it's hard to say. Although it's not that much different. I mean, 0.25 versus 0.20, mm-hmm. it's not really that much different.
It's not 10.
Yeah, it's not 10 and it's not 50. You know, it's not
right.
It's kind of a little bit of a weight. All right.
Right. So in playing God, I sort of had to keep them in the same ballpark. And I'm not sure why I did it. It's just that it became too, I don't know what the word is, punitive and too personal when I started to add big, put in big weights. I said,
yeah,
all right, let me not play the big weight game. But there's one thing I do notice looking at it, which is, and this doesn't make a difference one way or the other, but it could be easier for people to understand, is that they don't sum to one.
No, they don't.
So, not that there's no numeric benefit from summing to one. It's just that in terms of describing it, I could say this gets a 23% weighting, this gets it's a little bit easier. So maybe, do you think I should go in and then just normalize these to percentages?
Yeah, I mean,
against each other?
Yeah, I mean, normally when you have weighted weighted numbers, the weights usually add up to one. You try to get the weights to add up to one. That way, it's just easier to explain. You know, it's like, hey, I have a 100-point weighting scale.
Yeah.
And I'm allocating the 100 points this way among these factors, and then that way, if you want to change those weightings, it's very easy to understand. You know, because that way, a 0.1 is always, you know, half of a 0.2.
Okay, right, exactly. You always know
what you're comparing. So I think it would be good if you change these weightings to add up to one, and that way then you can compare them within each other very easily. And then if you decide down the line, hey, this factor really isn't as important, we don't think, you know, we're not seeing this being as big an issue, you can just change the weighting and adjust one of the other weightings. So if this one goes down, what's going to go up? So,
yeah, okay, I'll make that change. That makes perfect sense. Any other changes? Because then it's just a matter of me going into the program. It's very easy to change. I could put in, I'll put in the new one for the volume.
Yep.
And this would be our big product. What do you? this would be it. You know, yeah, this is either the most geekiest podcast ever, or we're going to be like getting Nobel Prizes. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I've seen
world hunger.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I've seen other email overload, you know, kind of calculators, but a lot of email overload calculators are asking people their feelings. You know, like I did that when I did my research. Is, you know, I had an email overload calculator, but it's like, you know, how overloaded do you feel? You know, is more subjective, you know, it's people's, you know, sense of their overload. You know, do you feel that you haven't looked at all the emails that you needed to look at, you know, at the end of the day kind of thing?
With impunity.
Exactly. Versus this is very, this is completely quantitative, right?
Yes.
There's nothing in here where a person's giving their opinion or their feelings at all. It's right. Purely, we're going to look at the numbers and we're going to either say you're very high, you're medium, or you're low, right? And
right.
You know, I think what would really help for this, you know, to do down the line is look at a lot of different kind of inboxes and then right. Apply the numbers and see how it really works out in a couple of different scenarios, you know.
Right. Right.
You know, you can kind of create some sample inbox numbers and plug them in and say, okay, let me take the person that gets a lot of emails and, but doesn't have a lot of old emails. What happens? And then let me look at a person that gets a lot of emails, but doesn't have a lot of incoming emails, but has lots of old ones. You know, what does that do? You know, so you can kind of try it.
There's a paper with your name on it at the email research conference.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there's the calculator, you know, it's already there, so you're just plugging in numbers. So if you're picking particular behaviors, maybe they map onto behaviors from your book.
Yeah.
And then characterize this as a way to translate sort of the personalities, email personalities that, you know, people usually try to measure in these things, and see what maps on and what doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I'd be, I guess, most curious for the listeners to chime in on is less about the specific calculations. Because I think over time, you got to fine tune those and the weightings and you know the numerators and denominators and all that stuff. I think you can fine tune. But what I'd really be interested in is from an email overload perspective, are there any factors that we just forgot?
Yes.
You know that to me is really you know we talked about incoming volume. We talked about the age of your inbox. We talked about the total number in the inbox. We talked about threading versus non-threading, the number of people on the threads. We talked about subscription versus non-subscription. So I think we talked about a lot of good things, and I think you know, we talked about how many you process per day, right?
Right.
So, but you know, I guess my real question is, do people think there's something out there, some other factor that adds to your email overload in addition to these? Is there something that, you know, you and I, you know, haven't considered in this discussion? To me, that's almost more, that'd be more interesting in some way, in certain ways, than even fine-tuning the calculator. The calculator is great, and it's a great exercise.
I agree, right.
You know, I sit down with people all the time and look at their inboxes, and, you know, I've got a sense of, I look at the size, I look at the volume, I look at the threading, I look at subscriptions. There's a couple of things I look at right away. You know, you look at tagged, untagged, you know, but is there something else?
Yeah.
You know, that is we haven't considered, which is, you know.
Yeah, and I would love our listeners to the podcast to chime in.
Yeah.
And, you know, give us, not just us, because like we said, we don't know of anyone else who has tried to do this to this level of rigor. And if it's the only conversation of its kind, then anyone who chimes in and says you forgot something would be adding not just to our knowledge, you and I, but to the knowledge of everyone who listens to the podcast and anyone who ever is on a path to developing an email inbox calculator. And I imagine that there are people who are doing it. I can't imagine that we're the only people who have ever had this thought. So if you're literally listening in, make sure to chime in. What did we leave out? What did we forget? What did we totally miss? The only caveat is that it's got to be something that's measurable, of course, because it has to fit into the calculator. The second criteria, which is a judgment call, as I mentioned before, is that it needs to be easily measured. So that's a pure, you know, if it's too hard to measure, someone can't go through, you know, all 300 emails in your inbox and give them a score of 1 to 5, for example. It's just not going to happen. You need gross measures that can be either accumulated sort of quickly or semi-quickly or picked up by changing a view or doing a filter or doing some kind of sorting or having available a script. You know, wouldn't it be awesome? And this is another invitation, I guess, to our listeners. If someone listening out there could just write this script for Gmail, one for Gmail and one for Outlook.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, to pull this data out, because you're right, if you can go through that inbox and pull this data out, then we could really start to play around with the numbers and the metrics very easily.
Right. And then we could do sampling of different users. Yep. It would allow this, what we've done, to sort of germinate to the next level.
Yeah.
Where we could actually do experiments and testing, and that would give you your Nobel Prize, Mr. Einstein.
Yeah.
Dr. Einstein, sorry, doctor.
Thank you.
That would give it to you.
Thank you.
Well, it's been great working with you.
Thank you.
I think we're at the great point to sort of draw a line underneath it and send the baby off to college, I guess.
Yeah, and see what kind of, if we get some feedback from people. It would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing what I have colleagues who I have a feeling are going to have something to say, just because they're bright guys and ladies and they're committed to coming up with good solutions. But you know, there'll be lots of people I imagine who are going to be looking at this and you know, we have tough skins, right? Don't we?
Yeah, no, there's going to be some very smart computer science PhD candidate out there somewhere that's going to hear this and say, I know how to code that. right?
And you got it all wrong, by the way.
and you got it all wrong, and you know, whip up all those, you know, those mathematical formulas and stuff, and you know, scan through those messages and do all the calculations. I mean, I'm sure there's people that have those technical skills. I don't. I mean, I'm more of a business person. My focus is more, you know, business management. I'm not a, you know, I'm reasonably technical, but not to that level. Not to like
programming courses in my freshman year. Does that count for anything?
I think it's the same as you. If I told you the languages that I used to program in when I was in college, it'd probably make me seem very old. I don't think any millennials would even have heard of the programming languages I used. things like, you know.
Well, these are two. I guess we're two dinosaurs signing out for now, and we're looking forward to some younger, smarter, more motivated person to pick up where we left off.
Yeah, versions of us. Smarter versions of us. Smarter, younger versions of us.
Thank you. Mike, it's been a pleasure working with you. Thanks for persevering.
Thank you.
All right, all the best.
Thank you, Francis.
All right. Take care.
All right, bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this third episode of Live Lab Number 2 with Michael Einstein, working on creating a email calculator. If you like the work that we're doing here at Two Time Labs and would like to support it, just use the link in the show notes to my Patreon page. And don't forget to like the episode on iTunes or on Stitcher or whatever podcast app software you happen to use. This is Francis Wade, and I'm signing out. Until next time, take care. And all the best.